Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Right, and I know I don't want to.
The
so
only
I
thing
need
that
to
should be done
you.
By your titties and your ass.
Doesn't mean you're not a bad
me.
Bitch. That doesn't mean you should stop
you
getting that
my
stuff
joke.
Done.
You missed my joke. You interrupted
was
me.
Was it good? Go
it
ahead,
was a good
then.
Joke. I said the only thing that should be doing your ass and titties is me. That's a funny joke.
How is that funny? I need to funny. Unfollow you. Not Ben. Ben just made a sex joke. Groundbreaking.
No, I. Oh yeah, it was a sex joke.
What was it? A double entendre? I missed
no,
how
I
nuanced
done,
it was.
I don't know. It wasn't nuanced.
You said ass and titties.
Just please delete this.
No, keep it. Keep it. Just unfollow it.
Fly, oh, to be a fly.
Is a hot little mess. And where you coming? Right on in. Come on in. Welcome to Fly on the Wildin' Podcast. This is the show where we talk about parenting. We give some relationship advice. We give some relationship advice. We talk about books that we're reading, and we record it all for the world to see. I'm your neighborhood friendly black girl, Amber.
And I'm Bam.
Wow, chicka. Wow, wow. If you loved those sound effects that Ben just gave and you love my incredibly contagious personality, make sure you buy tickets to our live show that's going to be February 21st in Los Angeles. If you've never even been to LA, why not come to all the way to Hollywood just to see us on stage at the Lodge Room? You can buy tickets to that show using the link in the episode notes. I'm also posting this link everywhere. My bio, it's going to be everywhere. So make sure you buy your tickets to our live show before they sell out.
You just did the most like
ticket selling fast
on LA thing ever.
Which was what?
You're like, oh, we're in Hollywood. No, LA is not Hollywood, okay?
I mean, like, Hollywood's, like, right over there.
I know, but we're in Highland Park. People are so particular about this. It's like, come to Bucktown, and your show is in Lincoln Park if you were
no,
in,
baby. Hollywood.
In Chicago.
We in Hollywood.
It's like
I'm
come
Hollywood.
To the South Side. You're in Hyde Park. Shut up. Calm down.
Do you want them to come or not?
I want you to come.
Tell me what is your end game?
We're in Highland Park. We're in the
to
hipster.
Come to our show.
The Lodge Room is in the hipster neighborhood,
which is great.
It's freaking dope. And there's like this retro bowling place. The Lodge Room is like where all the cool hipster. I think the 1776 band. It's like a hipster venue. It's
that
so
feels
fucking
racist.
Dope.
The 1776, like, as in 17, the signing of the Declaration of the Independence.
No, man, it's some other band.
The Declaration of the Independence.
I need to look it up. I forgot what they were called. It's like,
do you want people to come to our show?
Hell yeah.
Are you my enemy?
But fuck Hollywood. Hollywood is a shithole.
To the people that don't live in Hollywood, the glamour and allure of Hollywood
brings people in. They just learned something. Listen, if you come to LA, don't go to the Hollywood Strip. You got to go to places like Highland Park, which
That's
is
true.
Where we're having our show.
Thank you.
Highland Park. One of the best vegan burgers I ever had in my life. It's right below
See,
the Lodge
See, that's still
room.
Not making the girls want to come through.
Okay, but there's also, they also got a triple bean pizza that's pretty good. What
it's
was that?
Fine.
What was that other restaurant we went to? It was
Hippa.
Hippa. Or Hippo.
Hippo?
Hippo.
Hippo.
Hippo. Hippo. Hippo. Great Italian restaurant. I'm telling you.
No,
Highland Park
don't
is great.
Give them places to compete with our
oh,
show.
Oh, and Bell's. Bell's Bagel. So you come.
We do love
You
Bell's
come
Bagels.
To Highland Park. Get yourself a Bell's Bagel and come to our motherfucking show. Do it. If you want our show to continue, if you want this to continue, right?
Right, right.
If you want, you need to come, you need to buy a ticket. Even just buy a ticket if you want to support us. If you've never given us money and you've listened to our podcast, just this is the time to do it. Give us your money.
No, I want asses
and
seats.
You will be blessed.
You will at least have a great time. Well, you'll be blessed with the gift of comedy.
It's a good time.
We're going to jump right into our first segment of the show this week, which is hashtag influenced.
It's time for the hashtag influenced.
We talk about our lives as mega successful influencers. I can't even say it.
Mega stars.
As mega stars. This week, we're not so much talking about virality as we are about our low self-esteem a little bit, right?
That
Ben?
Comes through the world of influencing.
That comes through the digital age and just being, when you are on the internet, how you feel about yourself just starts to go kaput.
All
right?
The studies, it shows.
Yes. Kids don't try to act like, not me, I feel A-okay. No, we've made you feel bad about something.
And then also, if you already have like body dysmorphia or body images, the internet, studies have shown, especially with middle schoolers, I was reading a bunch of things that Stanford studies, research has shown that your body image decreases any more. So
say the stat one more time.
So basically, if you already have body dysmorphia or any sort of eating disorder, anything of that nature,
of course,
it increases greatly when you're online.
Yes.
So the effect. So think of it this way: you say you're online a bunch, and you have great image issues, but you sort of get bombarded with this is the beauty standard. This is the beauty standard.
Right.
Your sense of self or self-worth is going to decrease a little bit, right? It's still going to decrease. But studies show that if you already have body dysmorphia, an eating disorder, issues with self-image, it increases significantly more.
Yeah. Yes.
And
it's like a different kind of stage.
So what we are discovering is something that you watched a video, right?
Right. Well, I didn't watch a video. What I did do, we're currently reading The Sex You Want because we're preparing for our episode with Rena Martin, who is the author of the book. It will be available February 6th. But we are reading some chapters about body image and self-esteem and things like that. And on page 85 of her book, there was this study included. So we're talking about Fiji, right? There's this study that was conducted in the 90s in Fiji by this Harvard researcher. And this Harvard researcher was essentially comparing, you know, Western culture to other cultures. And Western culture at that time had a lot of shows like Beverly Hills 90210 and a bunch of different soap operas and things like that. Now, the general consensus in Fiji at that time in the 90s was that, like, if you were what the author called here robust, if you were like thick and curvy, like that was the gold standard, that was the beauty standard. So they essentially conducted this experiment where they showed kids in Fiji these very popular American shows, these American soap operas, these American like reality, you know,
with dramas, thin, tiny,
you know, everybody's got a bunch of makeup. We've all seen these soap operas. And essentially this Harvard researcher found that the eating disorders among young girls doubled once they got exposure to these shows. So Western media was essentially able to rewrite what was considered beautiful in a completely separate culture. Mm. So we've always been a part of Western media. So I've never, you know, or what is beautiful sometimes in our smaller communities, like Black communities, sometimes when we're taken out of those settings, when we're taken out of like our obviously all Black homes, family settings, or maybe all Black school dynamics even, and you are put into other settings, you start feeling a way about yourself. And this book was talking a lot about how social media sort of does that. And a lot of people all the time are like, well, how can the internet bully you? Like, can't you just log off? And you're like, well, it still has tapped into something in my psyche that I can't unsee.
And also, no one's going to just log off the internet.
Nobody's going to do that. Yeah. I'm just saying, but like all the time, like, do you remember recently there was this Asian kid, I want to say Chinese kid in the media that was staying with a host American family and was somehow convinced like by hackers or whatever that they were going to kill his family unless he like goes and camps out in the woods.
Yeah.
And so it was like a case of cyberbullying, and obviously all the comments were just like victim blaming.
Cyber kidnapping.
Thank you.
Cyber kidnapping.
But an extension of cyberbullying. And obviously most of the dialogue was like, how the fuck do you get cyber kidnapped? Just log off your computer. So I'm just saying, like, just log off has sort of been like the rallying cry of these people that are like, if you don't want to be bullied, log off, log off, log off. If you don't want to be kidnapped, if you don't want to feel badly about your image, log off. And it's like, but we use our phones to do everything.
Right,
our phones.
That's not reasonable.
Right.
So right now, you know, we don't have magazines anymore. So the way we get these images, the way we get our articles are through online. So this study was done with magazines in the 90s. I think it still applies for today.
Right.
But in a way that you can hide a magazine. Right, you can hide magazines.
Yeah.
You can hide. you can just turn off the TV. You can be like, no, we're not doing cable. We're not going to have TV in our house. You can remove those things. Now you can't. Like the phones, you can prevent your kid from getting a phone, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it's almost impossible. So what she suggests is that going through and just unfollow people. Like you can unfollow people that you that might have showing things that encourage you to be insecure. And so like what if you look at people's content and it makes you feel bad, you should unfollow them.
Yes. And so it's gotten to our point. We've gotten to a point in our society where people are going into plastic surgery offices and asking to look like Snapchat filters.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is a real thing.
Yeah. What is that called again?
It's called Snapchat dysmorphia.
Yeah, there's a term they recently, Snapchat dysmorphia. Yeah.
Yes, and so there's these unrealistic beauty standards, unrealistic lifestyle standards. So it's so interesting because I recently have made the decision to unfollow someone. I will say who it is, but I don't want y'all to completely just be so mad at me, right? So I think I am in the process. I'm about to unfollow Jackie Aina. For those of you who do not know, Jackie Aina is like a black girl beauty influencer. She does everything. She has like lifestyle content, but mostly beauty makeup. But her home is immaculate. Like everything in there is perfect and shining and crystal and white and blinding and so clean. You open her fridge and it's just like nothing but acrylics and like I don't even know where she would put her leftovers in that fridge because everything is so aesthetically pleasing. And she creates consistent content. She is just like a high performer when it comes. Like she knows.
Okay, we get the deal.
She is the picture of perfection, and it just feels
it makes you
so
feel bad about
unattainable.
Yourself?
It doesn't make me feel bad about myself. It just makes me feel like this is something I'm never gonna attain, and I've chosen not to attain that. Like,
so
I will do my best to.
Why'd you follow her to begin with then?
Because. I'm not going to say like I felt pressured to follow Jackie Aina, but it feels like if there is a black creator who is sort of like the champion doing the thing, like the gold standard, it's like this is somebody I should be following to like take tips from as far as like posting consistency, cadence, like inspo, all of those things. Whereas now I'm at a point in my life where I'm like, I'm not steaming my fucking sheets.
And
like,
I don't want to watch you steam your fucking sheets.
And I don't want to watch you steam your fucking sheets.
Does it make you feel bad, though, that you're not steaming your sheets?
It doesn't make me feel bad, but it's just
thing,
like,
it, like you should unfollow
no
people that
serving
makes you feel,
me.
Well, you should unfollow people that are making you feel bad. That's a big advice.
You know what? Here's the thing about it. Because I don't hate Jackie at all. I think it's great that she's successful. Like, obviously, she's doing the damn thing. She's fucking rich. She's fucking gorgeous. She's fucking perfect. It doesn't make me feel bad about myself.
You rolled
just
your
like,
eyes.
It doesn't make me feel bad about myself. Let me finish. It just doesn't bring joy and laughter and the things that I enjoy to it. You know what I'm saying? It's like, do you want to go to this really cool LA party tonight where there's going to be like tons of execs and tons of like just bougie and beautiful floors and Gucci and Prada? And I'm like, no. Like, it's that. That's what it is. So it doesn't mean she's doing anything wrong. It's just not authentic to my life. I want to curate my feed to where I'm laughing at every video. So she doesn't have to be a comedy girl. She shouldn't be. We can't all be comedy girls. But it's not making me laugh. It's not making me be like, oh, I got to send this Jackie Aina video to my friend. And that's okay.
You know what I realize, though, for me, is every time I watch Instagram or TikTok, if I'm scrolling, I always get up unhappy. I never learn something from Instagram or TikTok that I don't feel like I've used my time in a good sense,
right,
or whatever. I've never watched something and been like, I'm glad I watched that. And in the same way that reading a book. So every time I watch something on TikTok, every time I go through like 15, 20 minutes scrolling, I'm like, I just wasted my fucking time.
I don't think that's true. The other day you sent me that video of that older guy doing his wife's makeup because she's aging. Her hands are shaking.
Sure.
They're no longer. So there are things on the internet that do here are the big three things when it comes to people on the internet. Wait, I'm talking. What do you mean? Hold up.
Well, let me to respond to that.
Okay.
Because you said no, and I was like, yes. But I wish I could have sent you a short story of a man showing that level of
kindness. I'm glad you showed. I'm glad you sent me the video.
Yeah, so like the videos, like everything you see on the internet, please. You can read in a book. And when you read things in a book,
I don't believe that.
Your mind ends up just consuming it a little bit differently. Or even watching things on a story on a TV show. Like watching American Fiction had moments of calmness and kindness.
Unlike that, your stomach right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, my stomach was going nuts. It has moments of calmness and kindness that you can see the same thing. But the thing about Instagram is that I just binge through it. So maybe that single video I felt good, but the next 7 or 8 videos, I wasted my fucking time.
That's cool. It I feel is that way on TikTok for sure. But I just feel like there are 3 big things that I'm looking for that if you're looking to be a creator, like these are the things that I was taught to, that make a good creator as well. I'm looking for an authentic voice. I'm looking for an expert on something. Or I'm looking for pure entertainment. Mm. So basically, and what I mean by authentic is just like, if this doesn't feel relatable to me and like I'm connecting with this human being, if this person is not like, okay, this person is an expert in their craft. I'm learning about wine connoisseurs. I'm learning about fashion. I'm learning about decluttering. I'm learning. Or if they're not just making me deep belly laugh, mm-hmm. like, I'm just trying to curate my feed to where if you don't fit
any of those three
or in some cases all three, I got to unsubscribe from you. That doesn't mean you're not a great creator. That doesn't mean I don't want to watch someone be perfect. Like, and not, I want to watch it if it's like satire. But so I'm at a point where that she's not making me feel bad about myself. It's just like the sheets being steamed is not funny to me. Like, it's not supposed to be funny, but it's not funny to me. It's not entertaining to me.
My goal is to simply use my phone less and go and research the things through books and through articles that have more like clear information.
I got that, but we're on the influencer segment. So
yeah,
like,
I know.
I get what you're saying.
For me, I think a big thing is like to just cut out my time. The only content I'm really entertained by is content of my little girl wild doing funny shit with me. Like that's so entertaining.
Yeah. But even
I should be the only person I follow.
And but you're just a narcissist. This we know. But even for our page, right? Like let's say you and I being happy creating together is wonderful. It works for us. But let's say I'm someone who is recently divorced or I'm struggling with fertility or something like that. Like and maybe our content doesn't make you happy. Maybe our content triggers you. And that's okay. That's what I'm saying. Like, Jackie's obviously not a bad person. She's a dope black woman who works really hard. It's just like what she's doing right now is not making me laugh or not productive for my life right now. Maybe later or something. Watch me meet her. I actually did see her at a party in LA once and I was afraid to talk to her. I think everybody was. And she was like being followed by somebody with a ring light. And it's just like, this isn't real, like, and a lot of things that I learned last week that my hair is paper or plastic. She has a fiance. They're not married yet, and we don't really know much about him. Maybe when they have a fight, I'll come back or something. But like, I know that's very messy of me. I do not wish this woman a downfall with her fiance, but I would watch it if no. I'm just saying.
Damn.
There are people that are triggered probably by you and me, or like, you know, there are some people that are like, you know what? I like just pro black things. Like the white guy's fine, but like it's not for me.
I am pro black, okay?
But you are not black. You know what I'm saying?
I'm pro black.
Right, you are, but I'm just saying like that doesn't mean if somebody unfollows me because like my family brings up some you know, we actually kind of had not a situation like this, but like, okay, do you remember, I'm going to try to speak as wide as I can. A friend of the family, my family, like was kind of triggered by us because like her son married a white woman and it wasn't like all roses and stuff like people assume that we are. So she's just like coming to my mom like, it's just so unfair that like your daughter engaged in an interracial relationship and it just feels like tons of, like, she wrote like a full short story about this or something. You remember?
Oh yeah.
It was just weird. She was like
100%
aspiring to be
that's
wanted her
unhealthy.
Family to be like, that is unhealthy.
That's unhealthy.
Does that mean that we are bad people? Does that mean that we're not happy, that we're not authentic? No. It just means that watching our content, if you're in that dark space, is not helpful.
You know what I'm going to do? This is actually what I want to do with influencing, is that this segment, as far as following, because I think people need to narrow down who they follow for their sanity. Remember that time during Facebook? There was a point where we accepted everybody's Facebook requests. Do you remember that?
Yeah, of course.
And then I went through and just started deleting people's friendships because right. If I wasn't interacting with them face to face, I was like, I don't want to interact with you. So now I think I'm only going to follow organizations where there's something I could do IRL. You know what I mean? I'm only going to follow a band so I know when they're on tour. I'm going to follow all my favorite bands so I can see them. I'm going to follow my favorite restaurant so I know when they're having
right. You
know, a special menu coming up.
Because that clicks like the expertise and the entertainment.
Right. And I
love watching videos of food.
I need to do that. And I remember finding myself at points, you know, just scrolling down through like European, like Eastern European car fights. You know, have you ever watched those? Just hours.
You probably watching because they're entertaining.
They're so entertaining. And then just the road rage videos. And then I was going through like these semi-pro basketball players who just love to fight. And I just found that so funny, but also so dirty at the same time.
Yeah, like, I was watching like men slap boxing.
Oh my God. Oh,
that's
God.
That's very entertaining. But I need to stop following people that like...
The
like you got like that. you got your ass done, your teeth done, your titties done. Like, why am I following you? Like,
yeah.
I don't want to get any of that stuff done.
They didn't have their
and
eyes
if I
done.
continue to watch this, I might at some point in my life want to get this stuff done.
Get your titty ass and eyes and mouth done. Yeah.
Right. And I know I don't want to.
The
so
only
I
thing
need
that
to unfollow
should be done
you.
By your titties.
Doesn't
and
mean
ass
you're not a bad
me.
Bitch. That doesn't mean you should stop
you
getting that
my
stuff
joke.
Done.
You missed my joke. You interrupted
was
me.
Was it good? Go
it
ahead.
It was a good
ben.
Joke. I said the only thing that should be doing your ass and titties is me. That's a funny joke.
How is that funny? That's I need to funny. Unfollow you. Not Ben. Ben just made a sex joke. Groundbreaking.
No, Oh yeah, it was a sex joke.
What was it? A double entendre? I missed
no,
how
I
nuanced
just done,
it was.
I don't know. It wasn't nuanced.
You said ass and titties.
Just please delete this.
No, keep it. Keep it. Just unfollow Ben.
Delete this. Yeah, or so that's, I mean, this is a big topic of ours. Unfollow people.
I'm staying with my sheep shearing videos, though. It's an interesting
I
world
just,
now.
When I watch that shit, I feel like I've wasted, I've thrown out
no, but
minutes of my life. For
right
me, for me,
choice
for me.
Sheep shearing does education and expertise. It's joyful.
Are you going to sheep shear someday?
And it's authentic.
Are you going to sheep shear someday?
I might. It's satisfying.
We should go to like Ireland or some sort of Scotland.
I would love to watch.
And you should go sheep shear someday.
You know what it reminds me of? This is probably why I love them. So when I was in elementary school, there was a little nearby farm near my elementary school. And there was one day a year, maybe it happened twice a year, there was a lamb. Of course, the lamb's name was Mary. There was one day a year where they would invite the entire school out to, you know, the recess because there was just like acres and acres of land. And you'd sit in this huge circle and it was like always the annual time when Mary would get sheared. So it was just like all us kids like out there, like not getting close to the lamb, but watching the lamb get a haircut. And then we're just all like playing in the wool and whatever like that.
That's awesome.
So
that's
I feel
a great
like
story.
When I watch the sheep shearing videos, there's this little piece of like everybody from the kindergartners to the fifth graders to all of the teachers were just like outside just playing with wool. So it makes me happy. So I'm going to keep watching the sheep shearing.
Sounds good to me.
Steaming my sheets. Like, I'm so far past steaming my sheets being realistic. Like, we can't even make our bed in the morning. Like,
I made it this morning, but yeah, you're right. We
did
can't.
You?
I did.
That's great, babe. Uh-huh. You gonna make it today? You made it today?
Today, yeah.
As in, when I get home, it's gonna be made.
Yeah, the bed is made. I can't believe you didn't notice that.
No, because there was that's so crazy. Much shit everywhere. Because that's life.
Yeah.
Life is clothes everywhere. And or maybe I mean
it doesn't have to be. You could get rid of a bunch of clothes, but
I just
struggle for you.
I try my best, but we're all just taking it a day at a time. And I think that the reason that people do like us is that we show like there's hair under these pits. There's hair on that puss. There's laundry in that corner.
There's also hair on the bed because the dog got on the bed.
The dog jumped on the bed. The cow jumped over the goddamn moon. I can't have a, I just, how did she get that fridge like that?
This woman, she's so clean.
She's so clean. And even when she does makeup, it's like, you think you could be like, okay, just teach me how to do a 5-minute face. Just teach me how to do like a wing of a lash. It's a whole, and she should, like, if you have the expertise, people, a lot of people follow her for the expertise part. If you have the expertise to just like completely like make your face look like a Barbie, like, great. But I can't do it. I'm going to unfollow her tonight. I can't do it. No, she's like a black mogul for creators. I can't for the culture, but I should. I don't know. You want to move on to the next topic?
Yeah.
Oh, this is great. Speaking of makeup, the next segment of our show is called Imperfect Parent.
Imperfect Parent. Imperfect Parent.
Precisely why we didn't call this Perfect Parent. Imperfect. We are imperfect parents. So what's hot on the block right now? There is this very viral video of this worker at Sephora who encountered, for those of you who don't know, Sephora is like a makeup company, huge makeup store. And she's a worker there, and she tells this really riveting tale about how these like 10-year-olds came into her store and like loaded their little shopping carts with makeup, and this total came to like $900 or something like that. And so these girls are like trying to check out, and obviously this employee is like, are you sure, like, y'all are allowed to buy this? And then they go ask their mom, and their mom was like, that's way too much, like, I told you 500, girls. And so they go back, and so there's this whole story about, like, basically, you know, the moral of the story is there is a 10-year-old at Sephora putting $900 worth of stuff in her cart. And so I think it's twofold, right? This story is the perfect cocktail of two big issues. One, 10-year-olds feeling the need to like buy so many beauty products that they, because of things like this Snapchat dysphoria. And two, that parents, like, the big commentary is like, parents are no longer parenting. They're just letting their kids run into stores, rack up a bill. They don't know the value of a dollar. People are so maybe into their phones or into their own lives that they're just like, just spend it, just get out of my face. And so the big grunt from this creator is like, these parents don't even care how much their kids are spending, and now these kids are probably going to be menaces to society.
Because they bought too much makeup. I mean, that's a reach. I think also the video was the parents debating with their mom about how much money they could spend.
Right.
And I think that you need to teach your kid like what money is and how it's worth, or we're just going to keep on expanding our debt as individuals. And when you expand debt, you can't really have a good life. Like, people in debt they experience more anxiety, more stress, more depression, all of it. So I think, yeah, that's a fair point. But I feel like it's, makeup is sort of like art, you know?
Yeah.
It's like painting. You buy palettes. They literally call them palettes. Painters use palettes. Makeup artists use palettes. And so a lot of people, they love YouTube stars. A lot of young kids, they love the makeup girlies. And so if that's who you're watching, you're going to want to buy the toys. But I think that video shows that you need to create some sort of boundary around there. And parents in the U.S. are bad at making boundaries with
their kids. Yes, they are. Well, let's talk about, it's so interesting because this is two different debates, right? So let's talk about the money issue first. Let me ask you this, for real. Is a child that is used to, a 10-year-old child that goes into a store and runs up a $900 tab and her mom's like, ugh, I told you 500, but fine. Is that child going to struggle with money?
Yeah.
How?
Because they're not going to be able to know how to invest it. Once mommy and daddy's money goes away.
But somebody's going to save them in that family dynamic. Like, that's what it feels like to me.
I think long term,
this parent is so rich.
No.
And they probably have such a great trust set up for their child that.
If you're individually shopping at Sephora and not doing it online, I mean, maybe. I think the kid is going to struggle 100% with money because they don't know how to budget.
But they might struggle individually with money, but will they ever have a real fear of not having it is my question. Because we love hearing about a trust fund baby that gets cut off for like a summer and
70,
then they're back.
When they're like 80, 90 years old, possibly.
Do you think the money will be spent then?
Possibly, yeah. Well,
because so many people are like,
$500, like, I would only spend $50 on my child. Family. I only spend whatever. And I'm like, yeah, but y'all, this family is clearly very rich. Like, of course, my mother would never spend that. I would never spend that on Wild, but, like, super rich people. Like, remember that one Reddit article where it's, like, the fiancé gave one of the bridesmaids, like, $25,000 to throw the bride a bachelorette party? Yeah. And, of course, this bridesmaid didn't do that. This bridesmaid got herself out of credit card debt and, like, threw together some bridesmaid. And so the husband was upset, but everybody in the comments was like, no, fuck that, sue her, whatever. And I was like, what we're realizing here is that $25,000 to this groom is a drop in the bucket.
Yeah.
So if a child, like, okay, let's talk about the Kardashians. I know this isn't the show for that kind of stuff, but, like, the Kanye West and Kim Kardashian's daughter, North, probably goes to Sephora or probably gets products handmade and dropped off at the house to her or whatever. She's never going to learn boundaries with money, and she won't have to.
Yeah.
So people are thinking about it like it's this random 10-year-old at the store. I'm like, you got to think about it like it's like Northwest. Like, kids aren't ever going to learn the value of a dollar.
I know these people, you know, they're multimillionaires and such. I do know there are instances, especially younger money or first, second generation money, where they, when you don't know how to manage it, it can go away very quickly.
But they paid people to manage it so well.
They do.
That, like,
but it's your money. So if you don't want those people to manage it for you anymore and you don't learn any boundary,
right,
then you can get screwed over.
You're right. It can go at some point. But sometimes when I'm reading comments about, like, that kid's never going to learn the value of a dollar, you're like, duh.
Yeah, they might not need, there are people who might never need to know the value of a dollar, which is unfortunate. But, you know, whatever, that's how wealth is used here, that we just pass it on year after year after year. And there's great arguments to be made that wealth should not be able to be passed down, that the wealth goes back into the society. So if I make $1 million in my lifetime, and when I die, that inheritance goes to the rest of the society. So it forces my child to now make their own path.
You're saying there are philosophies that think it should
economical
be like that.
Systems.
Right.
Or economical systems. Yeah, where if you individually make money, it doesn't get inherited.
I mean, but you know, that's clearly not the
that's
American
not the American way. The American way is we love inheritance. But
cut to us talking about estate planning 2 episodes.
I think it is important. We have to do it since we have that option. The other thing was I saw that people treat Sephora as like a playground. I saw some of the comments on that video were like, I see people just drop their kids off at Sephora unaccompanied. And they run
unaccompanied, right. Unaccompanied minors, right.
Just running around. And
you're like, yes. Now let's get on to the parenting aspect, like, of it.
Why? You should not be in a store by yourself at 10 years old, like playing with adult, because they are adult products. And is makeup, are we like creating body issues and body images?
That's the other point of debate.
With makeup?
It's because like Sephora is luxury in some way, like luxury high-end makeup. Now, some of it, obviously, the more affordable things, but there's some really expensive stuff in Sephora. You know, you remember when I went to go buy a new palette and I showed the Sephora employee how Wild destroyed my other one? He was like, know. So there's some very expensive products in Sephora. And where do we start? Like, if you're talking about makeup is essentially face painting, Why are 10-year-olds in there probably buying like anti-aging creams and things like that? Like,
are we creating like an uncomfortability with aging? Are we creating an idea of not loving our natural skin with makeup?
Well, okay, here's
would the world be better without makeup? Is that the question?
No. No. Let me ask you this. I think we need to get more granular. What's granular? Zoom in. Or zoom out. Granular feels like bigger.
No, granular is like
like
tiny,
a grain.
Like a grain.
Okay, let's get granular a little bit. Let's talk about Wild. Because this whole story made me think about this. Because Wild is 1. She'll be 2 in April. Our daughter. She does have a makeup kit. So, you know, that she just plays around because she sees me do it.
Yeah.
So she starts to do it on herself. I'm like,
she also has a pretend knife because she sees me cutting vegetables. So,
right. But at what point what are we going to do when Wild's like, well, no, I want real makeup to cover up, like,
my faults.
Imperfections.
Yeah, my...
Yes, to tighten, to lift.
She has a little scar from hitting her head on top of her head. Yeah.
So what? How do you guide that conversation? Because I'm terrified. I'm the kid that, like, at 10 years old, I begged my mother to shave my legs at, like, age 7. She was like, we got to wait till 10. She's like, give me till 10. And I was like, no, please. And even when I was, like, 9, I was like, please, can I shave my legs? They're so hairy and gross. Like, I just want to feel like a grown woman. She's like, well, wait till 10. So I was so excited.
But that's not a conversation.
I was so excited at my 10th birthday party.
You're 10. You're 10. Now you can do this. Like, instead of being like, why do you feel your legs are gross? That's the conversation we have. Why do you want to wear makeup, right?
Well, I'm watching my mother shave her legs. So it's like, oh, this is what women do. Like, I want to feel like an adult. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but if you think your legs are gross, if you just want to feel like an adult, yeah, you can do this. We'll do it as
a kid. Well, as a 10-year-old, you're like, okay, I'm watching my mother shave her legs. Oh, the shaving means, like, removing it. So now it's soft and delicate and dainty. Like, I want to be soft and delicate and dainty and desirable in that way. So now, Mom, like, can I have my own razor to shave my legs too? Like,
you sound like a smart child. I would probably, if I was your mom, which I'm not, but I would probably allow you to do that. Because in the same way that you'll see, like, little boys, like, trying to shave their face.
Of course.
Like, their dads, they'll put it on. Of course. They'll just pretend.
Right.
You know? It's really cute. And I think that's super, super cute.
So what you're saying is you're cool with Wild being in the Sephora with her friends.
Not, just not unsupervised. Unaccompanied or not supervised. Unaccompanied. Yeah.
Unaccompanied.
Jesus.
Like company?
Yeah,
unaccompanied.
Company. Unaccompanied. Unaccompanied.
I don't know. Actually, I just screwed myself.
Unaccompanied.
Okay, unaccompanied. So what happens, like, I think, do we need to monitor certain products as well?
Yeah, you monitor everything.
You monitor everything. I'm just saying, like, what's the line? So is there a money limit?
No, there's no money limit. How, it's the money.
There has to be a money limit.
No,
that's
the
outrage
idea,
of the video. Also, we put this video in the episode notes.
The idea is to raise your daughter in such a way that she won't do something foolish like overspending, that she understands.
Good luck, Chuck.
Yeah.
Because I knew the value of a dollar and I was still overspent.
What? Let's circle back to this. Let's move on
when she's like 12.
No, and because I'm reading a book a little bit about what you're talking about.
Okay,
so
we'll circle back.
We're both reading a book about parenting.
Yep,
you know, the French way. We'll come back to this, but let's get on to relationships.
I agree. The next segment of our show is called "I Do's and Don'ts of Relationships."
I do, I do, I do, I do. I do, I do, I do, I do.
We're back. You didn't want to do a choreo with me?
I didn't. That was not made
just
clear.
Go with it, man.
I was watching. I was sort of the audience.
Ha! We have two great voicemails here. Just remind you fine folks, if you would like to be on our new hotline, our advice hotline, please call into the show at 1-833-FOTW-311. You're entitled to conversation. Kidding. All right. Let's hop into the first caller.
Hi, Amber and Ben. I guess I'm calling in because I am trying to see if I want kids or not. So one of the things is that, there's multiple reasons why I'm leaning towards no. But one of the things is also because my husband's family is very, have those old school values. Like, they're very misogynistic. They're very, like, have those racial beliefs. And so that's one of the reasons, but there's multiple sets of reasons why I'm kind of leaning towards no. So my question for you is, how heavy should I weigh that portion of the reason? And should I think more about kids as in just independently, just me and my husband? Or should I also think about the surrounding aspect of it, of family, friends, and even where I live and schools and all of that stuff? How much should I weigh each option, each area? All right, thanks.
You go.
This is such an American question because it's such a unique way, like the idea of even just thinking to raise a family just between you, your husband, and you, you know, it's in a very, I think Americans think they can do that. And I think Americans probably can in some ways because we've lost village mindsets or even the idea, even considering like what's an approved way of parenting, there's all these different competing parenting styles. I don't know. It's like, I don't think parenting is just between me, you, and it's everybody around us. It's 100% to where we live. Like we live in LA, so I have to consider living in a city compared to living in a country. And we do spend a lot of time with your family. You have a good relationship with your family. But if you don't spend a lot of time with your extended family, then you don't have to consider what their values.
And that's uniquely American.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people throughout the world, when their grandparents get old, they don't go live in a nursing home. They go live with the family.
Right. Yeah,
right?
Yeah. We've talked about that
before. And that's... And so, like, you know, it sounds...
Like, this wouldn't even be a question of that in another country in a lot of ways.
Yeah, just depend. I mean...
I didn't think about that, yeah.
I mean, I guess you could just raise a kid between you and your husband and your chosen family around you, the people that you decide to have around, whether it's the church people, the school people, your town, your friends from work. So I honestly though, you have to consider everything, but it sounds if your main reason for not having kids is because you have shitty extended family, and if that's what's stopping and you want to have kids, I would say have kids. Like if you want to have kids.
Me too. Because I feel like that main reason would have been called into question if you were gonna marry this person. Right?
Right. It didn't stop you from marrying.
So my thoughts are it didn't stop you from marrying him. Of course, children will complicate things, but I'm sure she might have had these questions. It's like, should I marry a family that is misogynistic? Should I marry a family that is racist?
At least you can prepare for it. It gives you an opportunity to say, hey, people believe different things in us, and this is why we don't believe that way. And actually, what they believe is harmful for the following reasons.
Right.
You can actually use your shitty extended family as a teaching tool.
A case study, for sure.
Of how shit can happen.
It would be very difficult if... So, okay, for example, these are not our families, right? Like, obviously, Ben's family is white, but, like, I've never had to deal with anything egregious at all. Like, not even close. Like, I feel very comfortable talking to both your mother and father about race relations in the U.S. We have talked to them about those things, and I was met with nothing but like love and support, truly. So it would be very difficult for me to marry you if that wasn't the case.
Yeah.
And
but also,
moreover,
we
have children
near,
with you.
We don't live near them. So we don't, any like annoying thing that my parents do, which it's not a lot. They're not annoying. They're pretty great people, but like we don't have to consider their values and how we raise our child.
same with mine too.
Same with your mom. We don't really have to consider your parents' values because we don't live near them.
Yeah. Now when we go visit, it's like, here we go with this from either side.
Yeah. It's always like not a big deal. It's like your mom doesn't want Wilde doing backflips off the couch or jumping on the furniture. Which is fair.
And I think things will probably grow more. We'll face other things as she gets older. But like, if you really want to have a kid, like it saddens me that you're considering not fulfilling your dream of having kids because of like his family. Yeah. And I wonder how he feels about that. Like, do you think he feels the same way?
Well, let's say, speculating. I mean, there's two ways, you know, he does feel the same way. And he's like, I don't want to have kids, because then you can say, well, you know, we don't really hang out with your family a bunch because honestly, your family's not great. Or two, he doesn't feel the same way. And then it's sort of a non-issue. So it's just something you have to get over.
Yeah.
But she doesn't get, we don't get that information.
Right. Well, or I would definitely say, like, if you decide to have kids with this man, make a rule, make a list of non-negotiables or safety words even, that it's just like, yo, we are going into this journey of having babies with the understanding that your family says misogynistic things. So when those things are said, here is how I need you to have my back.
Yeah.
Like, here is how I need you to stand up for me. When those slick comments are said, here's how I need you to address it. Because we have had an experience or two where I have pressured you to, like you're somebody who will hold off of a conversation for a while. And I'm like, you need to have this conversation with him right now. Like, right now. And you're kind of like, give it time. This is my mother. Especially, you know, this wasn't race related, but it was just the height of, like, the vaccine and COVID and, like, who can visit baby and who couldn't, all that conversation. Remember?
Yeah. So my parents are not vaccinated. They think vaccines are not good for you.
Right. For, like, religious reasons and stuff, right?
Not really. Not so much for religious reasons.
But it was still, like, the anti-vax, anti-mask energy.
There are people who believe that, like, getting the vaccine has marked you for the Antichrist.
Right, that is not the mark of the beast.
They don't believe that. They don't believe any of that. That's another level.
Or weren't they believing something about, like, stem cells and something?
Right. So the yes, but that's, my mom was looking for, like, a religious bypass, basically, because stem cells were used, I guess, in part of the development of the vaccine.
Yeah.
And since she doesn't believe abortion. Abortionists against
God. Yeah, you ain't have to. I tried to be vague with it, but yeah.
But she, also, that wasn't the full reason. She didn't want to get the vaccine because she thought the vaccine would make her sicker.
Okay,
that was her main reason.
And of course, the vaccine conversation was a
post.
Was a right.
Which, sorry, mom, but come on. Like,
the vaccine was a huge issue with a lot of families. Like, that's
it was
not
a huge issue.
Us.
So we did have to have a conversation of, like, we don't feel comfortable you coming to see the baby until your vaccine, and then. But then she got COVID, and we're like, all right, well, she got COVID, so it'll be harder for her to get COVID again.
Yeah, yeah. It worked out. It worked out.
A lot of, I had a couple.
That was a fight with a lot of families, though, yeah. And new babies and germs, and there was a lot of, like, fear and mania at the time. And so I remember being like, Ben, you need to call your mom and talk about, like, how we're not doing visits right now.
And you were like, vaccine.
I'll talk to her eventually. And I'm like, no, you need, so there became
and
tension.
And she was totally, she's like, I understand.
Right. But I had to talk to my mom at one point because I was like, mom, Ben is not addressing these issues with his family. And it makes me feel like he is choosing his family over me. Like, whereas, and it can feel at the mind. I was like, I'm your family now too. So
yeah.
like have.
Fortunately.
What?
I said, fortunately, you are my family.
Oh, okay. Speaking of Mike now.
I got the fortunate.
I'm technically your chosen family.
Yeah.
You literally chose to be with me, and now I'm your family member, and I love being your family member. But it feels sometimes like if you're, you know, we are a united front. And, you know, we had some conversations with you and me about my family when I went home, and I was like, I'm going to have your back, but here's where the frustration is, you know, just, you know, with Wild running throughout the house and doing certain things. And I was like, we are a united front, but here's where you got to hold me down too. So I think if I was this caller, I had an intentional conversation with my mans about, like, your family is going to say some stupid shit. When they say stupid shit, this is what we're going to do.
This is the plan.
And if we can stick to that is the plan, let's pop them out. One, two, three babies. Four, you know?
The U.S. needs to start having more kids.
Really?
Yeah.
What statistic are you
basically, the people entering the workforce are significantly lower than the people exiting the workforce because of the baby boomer generation. So after World War II, there was an explosion of births, and those people are slowly retiring and dying off. And so, but nowadays, people like us, we're just not having kids as much. So 20,
well, we can't
30,
afford
40
them.
Years from now. Exactly.
And
so
the
it's
creator
economy.
It's
a huge, huge problem. What is the creator economy?
You know, like where a lot of us can work from home and freelance and do our own businesses and stuff now.
We have more freedom, so we're not settling down. We and
right.
to have a kid, you got to settle down.
Yeah, settle a little bit.
You have to settle. You can't be traveling around the world. But I think more and more people are traveling around the world and working in different places. It's, you can do it with a kid. It's a little bit harder and it's less likely to have it to happen. So there's just more single people, more couples who are deciding not to have kids. And that, I mean, when a society or a country doesn't have more kids, then your chances of having more scientists, chances of having more mathematicians or more brilliant, whatever.
So we got to do our part, is what
you
got to
do. Your part. Start having more kids.
Me and you, or other people?
Just everybody. Everybody should be having more kids.
You heard it here first, folks.
This is a argument that, unfortunately, a lot of Republicans make. But there's a level of like truthiness to it. But Republicans make it for like misogynistic reasons. But I think
like abortion related stuff.
Yeah.
Like we got to stop having abortions. Like, is that what they're doing?
Yeah. Or like just getting back to the nuclear family where like a woman stays home and raises kids and the father goes out and works. But yeah, there is a fear that we're not going to, since there is an American population decline, it makes us less competitive with other like countries like China or.
Well, make the shit affordable.
Yeah. That's what people are saying. Like we would. People are saying we would like to buy houses.
We would like to buy houses. We would like to settle.
Kids, but
we don't
want to
work that hard anymore. This next question is, I just think it's just so funny. It's a friendship situation.
I love these because
it's not as serious. You ready?
There's always drama.
Drama. Let's get it.
Hey, sending love from Texas. Hey, Amber. Hey, Ben. Love y'all. All right. Try to make it quick. I'm 37 at the time. I was 36. My homegirl is 36. So that's all I say. We're grown women. We can afford things. I was at her house. I am a solid 5'7 and 3/4. You know, almost 5'8, 230 pounds. So, I mean, I'm solid, but I don't go around breaking things. I was at her house for a get together. I scooted my chair up and the leg broke. I wasn't dancing crazy. I wasn't jumping around. She got the chair from this place called Living Spaces. I went on, looked at the link. The chair was like $75 or whatever. And I asked her like, hey, do you have a warranty for the chair? Like, cause she had just got the chair. So in my opinion, Living Spaces was wrong and she just had a faulty chair. Cause like I said, I just scooted the chair up. I scoot chairs up at my house all the time. And I've never broken a chair. So, in my opinion, I shouldn't have had to pay. She should have reached out to them and said, hey, this should still be under warranty. I bought this 2 months ago, and it broke. But a year passes, and every time I go to her house, she's still talking about this broken chair. So, I finally sent her the $75. So, my question is, do you think I should have replaced the chair, or do you think that was some faulty material? And two, I have a feeling I'm going to go to her house, and she's not going to be there to replace that chair. She's just going to take my $75 to buy some drinks or something because it's her and her two kids, and she has like a six-person chair. Like, normally she only pulls out an extra chair if she's having company, and she'll just roll out the gaming chair. So if that chair isn't replaced, she should send me my money, right? All right. Try to make it quick. Love the show.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if I was your friend, I would have pocketed that $75 and then call in the warranty.
That's probably what her friend did.
Yeah, so I like showed that I did exchange the chair, but I kept $75. But that's a dishonest friend.
That's not your friend.
That's a broke friend.
A broke friend.
Because some broke friends, sometimes they just need cash, but...
Yeah, that is how brokenness works. Cash just needed. I just hate grimy friends. Like, I feel like, and I want to speak from Ben is laughing because we had a friend break a chair once. Is that why you're laughing?
And then she also screwed us over with some fucking pizza. It was the same person too.
Nah, I'm just not petty like that. Yeah. Like if you broke a chair in my house, like that shit was probably cheap. Like I know it was.
Yeah. It's my fault I didn't have chairs to accommodate everybody. of all body sizes and shapes.
Low key, yeah.
That's my fault. That's, I believe in universal design. Universal design is the, you know, architectural idea that every single thing should be accessible for everybody. So like every mm-hmm. building should have a ramp access. Every chair should accommodate, you know, the airplanes should accommodate for people of all weights and sizes, and you don't have to buy two seats or whatever.
But
so,
can I say something else?
I'm there.
Here's what else I'm learning, and you taught me this lesson. I am learning, so this is a note for the caller. Mm-hmm. I am learning if I give someone money for a thing, how they spend it is just on them.
Yeah. You shouldn't ask for it back. If she decides to do something else with it.
Yes, it, which is annoying, which is frustrating, yeah. which would make me keep one eye on them. But if somebody told me, like, hey, Amber, I really just need help with my light bill this month. Like, it's $50. Like, come on. I just need you right now. And I gave them the $50, and I saw that they had on some new shoes. I'm in that moment. I'm in that space in my life where I'm like, you know what? If they blew the $50 that they begged me for on shoes, like, so be it. Like, if I give it, I'm not gonna
money.
I might not give them money again, and I'm not going to be over there like, well, who got you them shoes? I'm just like, I can't worry about it. Yeah. That's annoying. Now,
We don't let people borrow money. I don't like doing the borrow money. I don't want people. The only money I borrow is from the bank.
Right.
To like buy, you know, to buy a home or to do something. That's the only time I would borrow money.
So maybe.
And I never lend out money. I give you money. I give my parents money or give.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
No, don't worry. No more lending. I've had, you know, family members like, you know, I need some money for this or that, you know, lawyer fees or whatever. I'm like, don't worry about paying me back.
Right. I give now with the assumption I'm not getting it back.
Yeah.
Or I think, caller, and I know we're a day late and dollar short with this, but if I were you and she's already a friend you don't really trust, I would have just said, like, you bought this from Living Spaces, right? I'm going to go get this exact chair tomorrow. Yep.
Go get the, just order the chair to her house. It's like, I'm going to order it.
Yep. I'm going to order the chair. They're going to deliver and drop it off.
Or better yet, like, give me the warranty information. You know what? Better yet, I'll just take the chair with me and I'll go to Living Space.
Right.
Or I'll send it back to Living Space.
Yep. Like, I will take care of shipping it, whatever. But yeah. I personally am probably going to give you $75. And if you replace the chair, if you don't, whatever. But my name is cleared of it. But I don't know. Maybe I'm just growing up.
Also, she has two kids, so like,
yeah, if if you needed
$75, sound annoying to me. I don't have anything to go off on that. They just sound annoying.
I'm just saying, but if a friend asked for money for a chair and then she fed her kids instead, like, I'm not pressed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, and like, it was her property. I don't know. There's a world where you can not weigh a lot and still shift your body in a way that breaks some shit.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I don't care. Like, the,
which sucks. It's, I just, know,
it was
listener.
A cheap ass chair.
We're still on your side, listener.
It's a cheap
ass
chair.
It's not your
chair.
Fault, listener. It was probably a cheap ass chair. $75 is high. Like, I don't want my shit to break too if I bought it for $75. But be that as it may, maybe she didn't have the money to buy a more expensive chair. I would have bought the chair. So next time, if you break somebody's stuff, maybe just buy it directly. Or give the $75 with the thought that,
no,
like,
I wouldn't give it at all. I'd be like, yo, come on. I'm not going to give you money. We're going to figure out the warranty right now. I'm not about to just dish out $75.
See, Ben and I are different. I like the convenience. I'm like, I'm going to give you $75. I probably would.
But I'm also not coming back to your house.
I'm not coming back to your house. Yes. Fuck you that. Know how I am. You know, Fanita always likes to be like, you give people one shot, Amber. I was like, I might give you two, but you're not going to play in my face like multiple times. Like, we don't have to be friends.
I'm the exception to that, which is nice.
Right.
Moving
but I'm just
on.
Saying, like, remember there was this hair, a hairstylist in town that, like, once I tried to give notice, like, very long story short, I was not going to make a hair appointment because I was stuck in New York and my flight back to LA got canceled. And the day I was supposed to get back, or like the day after, I was supposed to have a hair appointment. Anyway, I gave this hair appointment place a 24-hour notice, maybe 48-hour. And again, when your flight is canceled, you got to give a lot of people notice.
This was last winter.
Yes.
And there was a crazy Southwest issue where Southwest had not updated their profiles. And the New York Times was running articles. It was on the news every single day.
It was on the news.
Because they were canceling flights up to like 10, 15 days after Christmas.
Literally.
And we ended up having to drive like 3 hours out of our way from New York to New Jersey to go.
Yes.
And so Amber
reached
out. I
was incredibly inconvenienced. So I had to reach out to tons of people. I had to reach out to my dog sitter.
And everyone was like, yeah, cool. Yeah, it was Southwest.
Everybody's like, yeah, we're watching the news. Like, yeah. And so of all people, my hairstylist at the time was like, well, just so you know, we were going to open a shop just for you that day. So we're terribly inconvenienced. I was like, what do you mean you're inconvenienced? I'm actually giving you a 48-hour notice that I won't be there. This isn't no call, no show. They were giving me attitude because they were like, well, like, you know, we can give you your deposit back this time, but in the future, just know.
And Amber's like, no, keep the deposit. I'm never coming back here.
Oh, you know me.
I was like,
I'm like, if you are that hard up for $25,
keep the deposit,
and you will never get a dime of my money. Yeah. You will never get a shout out online.
You will
never see me again. You will never get the chance to make a fool out of me again, ever. So keep your $30 or whatever the fuck I paid for the deposit. But that's how I roll. And you know I'm like that. Do not give either. This is how I am, Ben. And you know this. If you're a business and you require a 25% non-refundable deposit, stick to your deposit rule. But just show me kindness. Be like, hey, girl, unfortunately, the deposit is non-refundable. I wish you well when you get back. We're going to reschedule you as soon as possible. And when we get you rescheduled, the deposit you already paid will be for your new one. You can stick to your rule if you already spent my money. But do not give me a tongue lashing about, well, we was going to open it just for you and we're incredibly inconvenienced, but we'll send you the money. Now, keep the money.
That's a respect thing.
Keep the money. You will never see me again, girl. The next segment of our show is called Shelfie.
Yeah, what's the name of the book?
You just gave me one of those moans. Mm. After?
Yeah.
The name of the book is called Bringing Up Bebe by Pamela Druckerman. What's this about, baby?
So basically, it's about the French way of parenting. The book was written like 2012, and there are some scenes in the book, especially about how like French women lose weight, that is a little cringy if you read it now. Some gender stuff as well that you're like, we'll get into that. But we're reading the book together to become better parents because you should read books together. But one of my favorite things is that the French people and a lot of people around the U.S., they feed their kids regular adult food. They don't do baby food.
No baby food. No purees.
And so this journalist who moves from New York, she moves to France, and she starts to see that, you know, French parents do this collective way of parenting that is so antithetical of what she was seeing inside the U.S. And so she decides to write this book on the French way of parenting. And one of the things is how kids eat food. And like, but also the big thing is how your baby revolves around you, not the other way around. You do not revolve around your baby.
Mm.
And I
say
thought,
more.
Yeah, it's this idea that here in the U.S., we, you know, we do all these like events, like swimming, softball practice, gymnastics, and
for our kids.
Our entire Saturdays and Sundays are filled with doing shit for our kids. But in parents, they will do things like that, you know. But instead of going to Disney World, which is so kid-centered, they'll take them to a museum. And so she's noticing all these differences. But one of the things I did notice is that when I went into Whole Foods today, I went grocery store shopping, and I was getting things for Wild and things to make dinner tonight. But they do have all these kids' food. like specifically designed kid food. And there's these certain Cheerios that I buy that Amber's like, these are tasteless. These are disgusting.
They are gross.
They're so gross. And so we're feeding these kids food that we ourselves would never eat because they're so gross. And so their sense of, you know, taste development, and even the sense of the of sitting down and eating, it's not developed in the same way in the U.S. that has happened. Specifically, she's writing in Paris. She's writing specifically for the middle class, which is another criticism that this gets. But I'm just super grateful that I'm affirmed that Amber forces Wild to, you know, eat all the things we eat, you know?
Yeah, she'll just pull an oyster out of a clam and just eat it.
Oysters.
She's getting a little picky.
What else has she ate? Mushrooms. She loves mushrooms. Cremini.
But I too love a chicken nugget.
Shiitake. Chicken. Well, yeah, instead of chicken nuggets, they eat actual roasted chicken. I will roast a chicken, hand roasted.
But it's not just about the food. It's just about like the whole parenting style is a little bit more laid back and like. Yeah.
It's both intensely laissez-faire, like hands off. But then there's one point where she writes like at night, that belongs to the parents. Like you can come out to eat with us, but you're shutting the fuck up. Mm. And like the parents are going to do this thing. So it's there's such clear boundary making.
Parents here do a style of that with like the iPad and the headphones.
Yeah.
That's a form of that.
This book was written, she doesn't really address sort of this headphone, iPhone. I mean, that was sort of coming about in 2012.
Okay,
when she
yeah.
was writing it. That wasn't at the forefront now. But the big thing is like, just keep on feeding your child adult food. Like stop. Don't give them gummies. Don't give them, you know what I mean?
Does she feel that way about other things too, like high chairs and step stools and stuff?
No. I mean, that's not the, it's, she doesn't really get into like the specific kinds of stuff.
Right.
But it's mostly.
Just don't baby things for them. From your speech to yeah. the activities to the food. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Don't revolve your life around your kid.
Like, yeah. Because that's the first thing I think about. I'm like, yo, we got to go on this vacation. Should we just like. You know,
not really.
Leave.
I mean, you're going to Napa.
Yeah, but you're staying here. I'm talking about when we do things together. Yeah. We're definitely thinking like we don't stop what we're doing individually. Like you're going to Chicago in February. I'm going to Napa end of February. But
that itself.
But we were thinking about doing another international trip. Now that she's getting bigger, we're like, oh, let's just not. Or like, you know.
No, I think no that. Well, that's like a convenience. It's sort of talking about like don't. I think us traveling around and doing like going around is it's a good thing where I know people who would, especially mothers would not, I know many mothers who don't leave their kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They're not so, for financial reasons, just for like, I don't want to be away from my children.
Yeah. I don't want to be away from my kids. And I'm very proud that you do that. I think there are aspects of this book we're going to adopt, other aspects we're not, but I think we're doing a great job.
Hell yeah. That's a good place to end it.
Yeah. And also just feed your kids real food.
Feed them real food. I can do that. And Ben never baby talks Wild. I'm always like, need my babe.
Well, you do that to me. You baby talk me. You'll baby talk your little sister. Come here.
Yeah. I'm trying to do better about like not just like I used to do a voice as Wild. She's just so cute. But yeah. We're doing all right.
Yeah.
We're doing very well. Anyway, thank you so much for listening to another episode of Fly on the Wildin' Podcast. If you are in Los Angeles, LA County, y'all, make sure you buy your ticket to our live show on February 21st at the Lodge Room in Highland Park, not in Hollywood. And we cannot wait to see y'all there. We will see y'all next week for the show. Bye.
Bye.
You know they're from TikTok, cause those laughs keep you coming, cause they're wildin' all the time. Before Wild throws a tantrum, they sing to our silly anthem, cause they're wildin' all the time. Don't swap while Amber squats, and does her dance to please her plants, and Ben reads books while serving looks, Wild is wildin' all the time.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.